from the other girls, quiet instead of engaged in the lively conversation. She reminds me of how I get when there are too many people and I feel exposed. I bend so I'm at her ear and I don't have to yell. You want to go up to the room now so I can take care of you? I back up enough so I can see her face. Her expression is a mixture of relief and desperation so intense, for a second I think she's going to burst into tears, which is very unlike Charlene. The only times I've seen her cry was when Alex had his accident last year and Violet was a mess, and when my teammates found her surrounded by sex toys. Her lips move, forming the word please, but it's not accompanied by sound, and I'm uncertain if it's because she hasn't made any or because it's too loud to hear. I straighten and pull her chair out, giving her space to stand up.
You're going?
Violet frowns.
Come on, just stay a little longer.
I apologize, Violet, but I need her. Which is true. I very much need to get lost in her for a while, and I have a feeling Charlene needs the same. Violet jumps up and rushes around the table so she can hug Charlene. I don't understand why women feel the need to hug each other all the time. It's not as if they won't see each other again soon, like in the morning. When all the hugging is over, I thread my fingers through hers, marveling at how much softer and smaller her hand is than mine, and how much I crave this innocuous contact. I keep her close as we weave through the bar. Alex holds up a hand when he sees us leaving. I nod, but don't stop to talk. This whole thing with Violet tonight has taken his mind off of the game, but soon he'll want to sit down and figure out how to manage the next series. We're not alone on the elevator ride up to the penthouse floor, so I simply keep our hands joined, sliding my thumb back and forth over her knuckles. Charlene's free hand is at her throat, fingering her pearls. She exhales a shuddery breath when the last couple exits the elevator at the 20th floor. When the doors close, I lift our twined hands and bring them to my lips. Are you okay? She nods, but her bottom lip trembles and her breath comes sharp and fast. You don't seem okay, I observe. She opens her mouth to speak, but the doors slide open. A couple of women wearing Chicago jerseys fall into the elevator, giggling, clearly drunk. One of them pushes the button for the lobby while the other leans against the rails opposite us. I'm annoyed at the interruption.
Oh my God,
one of them shrieks.
You're Darren Westinghouse. You were incredible tonight.
The high-pitched, exclamation-point-laden yelling makes me want to pull out a roll of duct tape, but instead I smile and tuck Charlene in tighter to my side. This is part of the reason I've never tried to be better than I am, because it draws in unwanted attention. Stay solidly average and out of the limelight, and people don't recognize you on the street. Play better than most, and people start to notice. I've been content to be Alex's wingman for the past 6 years. He loves the accolades and thrives on it. He manages it better than I can. I don't want this overwhelming level of notice. I don't want these drunk screaming girls looking for autographs. I don't want to be nice and open and friendly. I want privacy and Charlene. I want some semblance of normal in a life that's never been that way. One of the girls roots around in her purse for a pen so I can sign something for her. Neither of them acknowledge Charlene. It's as if she doesn't even exist. So when one of them finally manages to find a pen and her game ticket, I tip Charlene's chin up and press an unexpected kiss to her lips. This will take just a moment, I murmur, lips still touching hers.
Okay.
It's more breath than word. I just want to be alone with her. I want these fans and my worries to disappear. I want to drown in her taste and her scent and her soft, sweet moans. But first, I need to sign some shit. They gawk unapologetically as I tuck a loose tendril of Charlene's hair behind her ear. It's unnecessary. Her hair is perfectly fine the way it is without me messing with it. I just want a reason to touch her, to indicate on some base level that she's mine and I'm hers. I sign their tickets, then sign the back of their jerseys even though one has ballistic and the other has waters, which makes sense, since they're the star players on the team. Thankfully, the elevator chimes. I reach for Charlene's hand, tugging her along as I hit the closed door button and slip out into the hall. I don't want them following us. When the door stays closed, I exhale a sigh of relief and walk quickly toward our room, digging into my pocket for the key card, but Charlene is already prepared. She swipes it across the sensor and I throw it open, ushering her inside. The door barely has a chance to lock behind me before Charlene launches herself at me. She forces me back against the wall, which is no easy feat considering I have a good 6 to 8 inches on her and I outweigh her by 100 pounds. I'm attributing it partly to her catching me off guard. Charlene's fingernails dig into my shoulders as her mouth connects with mine and she tries to hoist herself up. I spin so she's against the wall and lift her by her ass, positioning her so my erection is finally where it's supposed to be, albeit covered by clothes. I plan to remedy that soon. She rolls her hips and moans, head hitting the wall as she arches. Her nails bite my scalp and her teeth sink into my bottom lip. Charlene is a lot of things in the bedroom, uncertain, curious, semi-adventurous, adorably sort of commanding when she's decked out in leather, but she's rarely, if ever, aggressive like she is now, which tells me I've either pushed her too far or something is wrong. Possibly both. I also think her prolonged anxious state means she needs to come badly. Pinning her against the wall with my hips, I press a palm to her chest and splay my fingers out to frame the pearl necklace.
"Darren, please."
The words draw out on a plea. This is about so much more than delayed gratification. She's not just wanting. She's desperate and sad and panicked, and I need to understand why. But first, I need to take care of her, for both our sakes. I run my free hand down her side and under the waistband of her leggings. After I make you come, you're going to tell me why you're so upset.
Whatever you want.
I slip my fingers into her panties, which are practically soaked through. All day I left her in this state. Too many hours and too much uncertainty. It's my fault she's out of control, and I'm right there with her. She jerks as soon as I find her clit. Her legs go lax, along with the rest of her, as if she's been dosed with Valium. I ease her down the wall, wishing I'd made it to the bed, but aware stopping now would be an even worse kind of torment. So I push 2 fingers inside and curl forward, fluttering fast and hard. Charlene is lost in all the sensations, chasing down bliss. My name is a guttural groan as she comes in waves, and I keep pushing her, dragging it out because I can, and she needs it. She sags against me, hot breath fanning across my skin, and I kiss her temple. "Do you need me to keep going?" She makes a noise, but I can't tell if it's a yes or a no. I skim her clit, and she sucks in a gasping breath, fingers tightening in my hair again. So I keep circling, light and slow, pulling her to the edge and pushing her over gently. This orgasm is much less violent, but no less intense. I ease my hand out of her panties, grab her thighs and hoist her up, keeping her wrapped around me as I carry her to the bed. A stream of light from the bathroom cuts across the floor, illuminating the way. "I won't do that to you again," I promise, as I lay her out on the bed, kissing along her temple and down her cheek. "I won't leave you needing that long ever again." She's shaky and uncoordinated as she tries to unbutton my shirt. I cover her hand. "Let me get it." I kneel between her legs and shrug out of the suit jacket, unfasten the 1st 3 buttons and pull my shirt over my head, tossing it somewhere on the floor. Charlene's already managed to get her jersey over her head and her leggings off. "Leave the rest for me, please." I unclasp my belt, pop the button on my pants and get my zipper halfway down before Charlene pushes them over my hips, taking my boxers with them. My erection springs free, and Charlene wraps her soft, warm hand around the length. Her eyes flash up to mine, glassy and desperate as she leans forward and parts those gorgeous lips, engulfing the head. I groan out a low, "Fuck," and close my eyes for a second, because seeing her like this is almost too much. The head bumps the back of her throat as I shove my fingers into her hair, but I don't try to control her. I don't need to. She knows me well enough to anticipate what I want. She pulls back, sucks the head, and then draws me in, over and over, again and again, eyes locked on mine. I traced her bottom lip. If you take me deep one more time, I'm going to come down that pretty, sweet throat of yours. It's as much a warning as a promise. As fun as it is to make a mess on her chest, I'd prefer not to do that tonight, mostly because I don't want to take the time to clean it up before I get into those pretty panties of hers with more than my fingers. I'm right there, balls tightening, the ache merging with the promise of release. She sucks hard, hot mouth surrounding every inch of me, and I let go, pulsing as she swallows. I fold forward, groaning her name, struggling not to thrust, since I'm already as deep as I can go. When I'm finished coming, I ease out gently and bend to brush my lips over hers. I didn't deserve your mouth tonight.
I didn't do it for you. I want you in me for as long as possible tonight, and this guarantees that.
I chuckle and kiss her softly. Well, I'm going to need a few minutes before I can do that, and I have a really great idea about how to pass the time. Charlene smiles against my lips. I'd like to stay where I am for a while, but I've tortured her enough for one day, and there's little I love more than watching her unravel for me. I drop a kiss between her breasts and one below her navel. The custom bra and matching panties are perfect on her gorgeous body. I want to see the back of these, I murmur. Charlene slides up the bed and flips onto her stomach, craning to look over her shoulder. Her lip is caught between her teeth. I run my hands down her sides to her hips. I don't know why it took me this long to come up with these, but they're my new favorites.
I think Violet has a pair for every day of the week with Alex's name stamped on her butt.
As soon as I get home, I'm going to order them in every color combination, style, and pattern I can. Fuck lace and satin. Cotton boy shorts are where it's at. I regret how I handled her this morning, because now I want to take my time, but I'm aware I can't. I open the clasp on her bra and kiss the space between her shoulder blades, then the dip in her spine before I pull the panties over her hips and bite the swell of her ass, smiling at her gasp. I drag my thumb along the divide, and she jolts and moans. Slipping my fingers between her thighs, I skim the length of her slit, passing her entrance to find the steel piercing her clit. Her hips lift as I circle once. On your back, baby, I want to spend some time kissing you. Charlene is quick to comply, flipping over and tossing her bra on the floor. I stretch out between her legs, hooking my arms under her thighs and lick up the length of her pussy. Charlene writhes against my mouth when I take her clit ring between my teeth and tug. The first orgasm comes hard and fast, the second only minutes behind the first. And I keep going, pushing her higher so I can watch her spiral down, down, down. I lose track after orgasm number three, and eventually I can't and don't want to wait any longer. It's not just about getting lost in her, which I admittedly want, but more than that, I need her. I need the closeness. I need to know she's mine, and that no matter what happens at the end of the season, that's not going to change. I prowl up her body, position myself at her entrance, and ease in. I drop my forehead against her neck and groan. Only you make me feel this alive. Charlene's knees press against my ribs, and she runs her fingers through my hair.
I felt empty all day, she whispers.
Her words make the hairs on my arms stand on end. Something about her tone tells me this isn't just about withholding orgasms. It's more. I kiss my way up her neck and across her jaw. And how do you feel now? I push up on my arms so I can see her face.
Like you're under my skin, but I can't get you deep enough.
I roll my hips and she moans quietly. I don't know what's happening here, but I want to give her everything she needs. I want to be everything she needs. I slip my fingers into the hair at the nape of her neck, cradling her head in my palm as I drop my lips to hers. I can still taste her on my tongue, so when she looks at my mouth and moans, I know it's because she can taste herself. I kiss the same way I move inside her. I'm in no rush for this to end, and somewhere inside my head, I fear what will happen when it does. Things between us are shifting again, and as close as I feel to her in this moment, I worry that outside of it, there will be distance I don't know how to bridge again. Charlene grabs my biceps, fingernails digging in while she moves with me. I pull back in time to see her eyes flutter open and meet mine as she starts to pulse around me. Charlene spends a great deal of energy trying to make sex into some kind of event, as if she feels I need to be entertained to enjoy her. But nothing compares to this. There are no distractions, nothing to get in the way as I watch her light up under me. She lifts her hand and drags gentle fingers down my cheek. I close my eyes for a second, absorbing the sensation before I catch and hold Charlene's gaze again. The orgasm is painfully intense as it burns through me. White spots blank out of my vision, taking away Charlene's perfect face for the briefest moment. It feels as if I'm drowning in pleasure so extreme, the possibility of never having it again is agony. I drop my head, nuzzling into her neck, breathing in the salty, sweet scent of her skin. My body feels weighed down with satiety. I want this every day. I want to wake up to this, go to sleep to this, come home to this, and I'm not sure why it took this long for me to realize it. My limbs are heavy and uncoordinated as I ease out. I slip an arm under her and roll to the side, taking her with me. Charlene tucks her head under my chin, a shiver ripping through her. At first, I think it's the aftermath of such a powerful, drawn-out orgasm, or maybe she's cold. I try to shift away so I can tuck us under the covers, but she mumbles no against my neck and tightens her hold. "Let me get a warm cloth so I can make you more comfortable," I murmur against her temple, once again trying to extricate myself. She clings tighter and shakes her head, shuddering again. I pull back enough so I can see her face, but she twists her head away, tucking her chin against her shoulder, eyes screwed up tight. "Are you okay?" I stroke her cheek, hoping to calm her, but her lips twist as if she's fighting whatever emotions are swimming to the surface, ones she's clearly trying to hide.
"I'm fine,"
she whispers brokenly, still not looking at me. "You seem the opposite of fine."
"I need a minute, please."
I don't know what to make of this reaction or the way she's clinging to me. This isn't typical Charlene behavior, and I don't know how to handle it. A tiny whimper hums across my throat. "Did I hurt you?" "I don't think I did." I'm always extraordinarily careful with Charlene. She shakes her head into my shoulder, which should be a relief, but the fact that she's breaking down emotionally after sex seems bad. The sound of her pain tears at my heart, her ache my own. I want to be better at this, at caring for someone. A wave of emotion slams into me, the kind I've guarded against my entire life. I shift her body so I can sit up and keep her in my lap. She wraps her legs around my waist, arms locked around my shoulders with her face buried against the crook of my neck. She feels like she could break apart in my arms. And I'm forced to finally accept the truth I've been hiding from. I'm in love with Charlene, and have been for a very long time. Jesus, I'm so emotionally stunted by my fucked up family, I couldn't even recognize love until it punched me in the face. I rub circles on Charlene's back with one hand and smooth my free palm over the back of her head. "Breathe, baby," I murmur in her ear and press my lips to her temple. "Let me make it better." She sucks in a high-pitched breath, and I worry I'm making it worse. Eventually, she seems to calm, and then her lips find that sensitive space behind my ear. She trails kisses up my neck and along the edge of my jaw. For a moment, I'm confused, until I realize that her mouth is meant to be a distraction. It almost works. I cup her face in my hands and lift, forcing her to look at me. Charlene's eyes are red-rimmed, her cheeks flushed, and her expression is pure panic. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm fine. I want you again.
She tries to come back to my mouth, but I hold her still. What is this about? I smooth away her tears.
That was intense. Today was intense.
And that's the only reason for the tears? I press. I need you to talk to me, Charlene.
I waited all day for you.
She sighs and lifts her gaze, vulnerability leaking through.
I know the game was stressful for you, and it's the same for me. You wanted me on edge, and I was. I was worried and anxious. It was a lot.
I still think she's leaving things out, purposely or not, so I try to pull them out of her however I can. What exactly are you worried about?
I don't know. Everything? You? What you're not telling me?
I sigh. I'm going to have to give to get here. My stats are too high, and I'm getting too much attention. I don't like it, and I don't want it. But I don't have a choice, and I won't tank our team because I dislike the press I'm getting. She blinks a few times, maybe stunned that I'm being so forthcoming for once. It's about fucking time, I suppose. Buying her new clothes and nice things only goes so far. I have to let her into my head if I want her to let me into hers. Now, can you tell me why you're so upset, other than the fact that I'm an asshole for having kept you on the edge all day? Her fingers go to her pearls.
Now I feel stupid.
What? Why?
Because you're worried about your team and I'm worried about myself.
I want to erase the sadness that pulls her mouth down. I want to take the ache away. Trust me when I tell you it's not just my team I'm worried about, Charlene. I'm not that selfless.
What else are you worried about?
I shake my head, aware this is yet another diversion tactic. Not understanding why you're so upset. She runs her fingers through my hair, eyes fixed there, maybe so she doesn't have to look directly at me.
It feels like I'm losing things that are important to me.
How do you mean?
Violet's always been my best friend, and maybe it's petty and stupid, but she's going to get closer to Sunny because they're both pregnant, and Sunny and Lily have always been close, and now Violet and Lily are actual sisters. And I feel like I'm on the outside with no way in. And then there's this whole expansion draft, and what if you're traded and I...
She sucks in a deep breath, trying to keep herself in check.
I don't want to lose all the people who mean the most to me.
I skim the hollow of her eyes, brushing away more tears. As much as I don't like to see her upset, I'm almost relieved we're on the same page, at least about not wanting to lose the people we care for. I can't control what's happening with Violet or Alex, but I can try to keep hold of what we have. Whatever happens with everyone else, I'm in this with you. We can be on the outside together. She drags her fingers along the edge of my jaw, eyes sad.
Everything's changing, and I want it to stay the same. I need this to stay the same.
My stomach bottoms out. This?
Us. How we are.
Is it a warning? Was tonight too much for her? The closeness is something I want more of, and it has to be gradual, something that happens so slowly she won't even recognize the change is happening at all. So I don't ask for clarification, because I don't want an answer I won't like. Instead, I tell her what she needs to hear. It's always going to be me and you, Charlene. Whatever you need, I'll be that for you.
Chapter 14. All Good Things. Charlene. Things seemed to stabilize after we returned to Chicago. My panic over losing my best friend because she now has a real half-sister wanes as I realize things haven't changed all that much. I mean, sure, Violet and Lily might be a little closer because they literally share DNA, and she and Sunny can gripe about sore boobs, but it hasn't changed how much time Violet and I spend together. In fact, once we're home, Violet and I are together more rather than less. Darren and I spend a lot of time in coupley situations with Vi and Alex, so I don't feel like my best friend position has been usurped. Things between Darren and I are good. Great, even. He hasn't shifted from a quiet, introverted, sometimes guarded man to the kind of guy who shares all of his feelings and loves being around lots of people. But there are shifts, and not all of them are subtle. I now have a rack in his walk-in closet filled with brand new business wear, the kind I can't afford unless I switch careers and become a high-paid escort who works every night of the week. The price tags are always missing, but I've done my research. I know what a Fendi suit costs, especially if it's this season and custom-tailored to fit me. One side of the bathroom vanity now houses duplicates of the stuff I keep at home. Darren purchased a second dresser to match his, which is where all of my lingerie, new leggings, sleep sets, and panties now reside. When he has home games, he requests that I stay with him almost every night. He's grown particularly fond of returning from an away game or practice to find me snuggled up my reading chair with either a book or working on account files I've brought home with me. Although admittedly that chair ends up being used for sex almost as much as it is for reading. Series 3 of the playoffs is intense, once again going to Game 7 and putting Chicago into the finals. Darren's stats continue to rise, and with it his anxiety and his requests for me to stay at his place. I can't and don't want to say no, but I worry, more than I let on, about what's going to happen at the end of the season when the expansion draft finally happens. I'd like to believe that he's not going to end up on the chopping block, but the truth is, his game keeps improving, which tells me something incredibly important about Darren. He adapts to his environment and the people in it. He played only as well as he needed to in order to keep Alex in the limelight, and now he's playing better in order to keep his team afloat. And as I settle into this new us, I begin to realize this is who he is and how he operates, whether consciously or not. He adjusts himself and his expectations based on someone else's need. When his grandparents took away his privacy as a teenager, he found ways to adapt, physically, mentally, emotionally. In his career, he always puts his team's needs in front of his own, and I believe, in a lot of ways, he does the same with me. I'm the reason our relationship never progressed. I'm the reason we've stayed the same all this time. Whatever I wanted, Darren gave me. He never tried to open the doors I kept locked. Until recently. He's always very careful and calculated in how he manages me. Us. Except now we're transforming and I don't know how to stop it, or if I can, or if I even want to. Chicago wins the first two home games of the finals, but loses the first away game in Tampa. I worry this will be another 7-game series, making their off-season that much shorter, when they could use the extra time to recuperate. I'm relieved when they win the second away game by one goal, and even more relieved when it's Alex who scores it and Randy who handles the assist. I'm already at Darren's place when he arrives home. For the first time in a long while, he picks out lingerie. I'm unsurprised when he chooses to dress me in lavender satin and lace. But when he opens the "I thought it would be fun but I changed my mind" toy box, my nervousness immediately skyrockets. "What are you doing?" It takes a few seconds before he finally shifts his attention away from the contents of the box.
"Looking for something."
His expression is flat. I don't know how to read him tonight, and that nervous feeling drops low in my tummy and settles between my thighs. He stops what he's doing and crosses to where I'm standing in the middle of the doorway. He caresses my cheek and bends to press his lips to my forehead.
"Wait for me on the bed, please."
I search his face, but all I get is the tiniest hint of a smile before he turns me around, pats me on the butt, and sends me out of the closet. I sit on the edge of the bed, nervously toying with the pearl necklace. Several minutes pass, or at least that's how long it feels, before he finally appears carrying an armload of toys. I swallow hard as I take in the items he's chosen, and the heaviness between my thighs expands with each item he carefully places along the end of the bed on either side of me. I recognize several of them as items I'd foolishly surrounded myself by when his teammates walked in on me. Darren comes to stand in front of me. I look up, taking in his dress shirt, the sleeves rolled up to his elbows, the top two buttons undone, until I reach his face. He stares, unblinking, as he taps my knee.
"Open, please."
He tips his head to the side, eyes roaming over my body, pausing between my legs where everything is already tight and pulsing. He reaches out and skims my jaw, making every single muscle in my body clench and quiver.
Are you nervous, Firefly?
Yes. He exhales slowly and runs his fingers up the inside of my thigh. I suck in a shallow breath when he slips one under the edge of my panties. If I wasn't wearing lingerie, I'm sure I'd be leaking all over his comforter. I bite back a moan and eye the items on the bed.
Tell me why,
he whispers, voice low with gravel. You know why. He shakes his head.
I don't think I do.
I glance at the ball gag on the right and then that creepy face mask with only a mouth hole on the left. Darren, I moan when he circles my clit.
Why do we still have all of this if we're never going to use it?
I'm not sure why he wants to have this conversation right now. I expected him to walk in the door and get me naked on my reading chair, as has been typical recently.
Does that mean you want to use it?
I have to admit, as unnerving as it's been to have Darren focused solely on me and not any of the stuff I usually bring into our sex games, I actually love sex without all the distractions. I thought maybe he did too. He withdraws his fingers, trailing them down the inside of my thigh, leaving a streak of wetness that makes me blush as he sinks to his knees in front of me.
I'd like you to answer my question before you pose one of your own.
I don't know what's happening here, or how I'm supposed to answer that because the truth is at odds with my actions over the past 2 years. I thought maybe one day I'd change my mind.
Is that really true?
I bite my lip and shake my head.
So all of this serves what purpose?
He gestures to the array of toys.
Apart from being a distraction.
I thought maybe it was what you wanted. He skims the pearls at my throat.
And I thought I was showing you that you're more than enough. I will give you almost anything you want, but I only need you. You are all I want, Charlene.
I motion to the items surrounding me on the bed. Do you want me to get rid of all this stuff?
That's entirely up to you. I'm just telling you I can take it or leave it. Could it be fun? Maybe. But only if it's what you want. Otherwise, it's unnecessary.
He runs his hands up my thighs.
Now I've been without you for 4 days. I'd like to spend some time enjoying all the things I missed.
The night that follows could possibly end up being the championship game. I'm not as on edge as I was at the end of the last series, even though there's more at stake with this game. Darren is as worried about winning as he is losing. The beginning of the game is rocky, with Tampa scoring twice in the first period, but Chicago evens it out by the end of the second. Alex scores a goal, which is good for his ego and team morale. Randy owns the second goal, with Darren as the assist for both, taking them into the final period tied. That doesn't last long, though. They're less than 5 minutes into the third when Darren circles close to the net with the puck. He passes to Alex, who I'm sure is going to take the shot, but at the last second he fakes right and shifts the puck to Randy, who scores another goal for Chicago. They hold onto the lead through the third, and with less than 3 minutes left in the game, Darren gets hold of the puck and sprints down the ice on a breakaway, scoring again for Chicago. Tampa is down 2 points and with less than 2 minutes left in the game, and one of the players gets in Alex's face. The ref calls a roughing penalty, giving Chicago a power play for the final minute of the game, and of course they take the opportunity to score again, ending the game and the season with a 5-2 win for Chicago. Chicago took the cup home when Darren and I first started seeing each other, but this is different. Back then, Darren had a no-trade clause and we weren't as serious as we are now. So much is tied up in him. Our friends are interconnected. So this monumental win is both something to celebrate and fear. Change is coming no matter what. Someone is going to Vegas at the end of the season and hopefully it won't be Darren, whose stats are the best they've ever been. Sonny passes Logan to Miller so he can skate him around the ice while they celebrate the win. The sports journalists clamor for interviews. Darren is never comfortable in front of the camera, unlike Randy and Alex. His answers are always short and to the point, almost as if he's annoyed. When one of the journalists asks him how he feels about the expansion draft, he mutters something about being at the end of his career and younger, better players being a safe bet. Then he turns around and stomps down the hall toward the locker room. The journalist turns to Alex, who defends Darren, saying they've been playing together for a long time and any trade would be a big change. Darren is quieter than usual at the bar, but he doesn't shy away from the celebration, maybe because he knows it's possible this is the last time he'll get to do this with his Chicago teammates. I hope that's not the case. The expansion draft doesn't happen for a few more weeks, so there will be unease while we wait for the outcome. Plus, losing one team member could have a domino effect. I try not to worry, but it's not easy. We're all sitting around a long table in the back of the bar, chatter making it hard to focus on any one conversation. Also, Darren's hand is under the table, kneading my thigh and slowly moving higher.
"We need to have a party for your birthday this year, Char!" Violet shouts.
"Yes," Lily agrees. "A real one since it's your champagne birthday." I shoot them both a look. Birthday parties have never been my thing. I don't like being the center of anyone's attention, except maybe Darren's.
"I've been thinking about your birthday," Darren says, so only I can hear, in a tone that sends a shiver down my spine.
I wave Violet and Lily off.
"It doesn't need to be a big deal. So how about a barbecue at our place? We can celebrate all the things. Your champagne birthday, winning the cup, and the end of the season," Violet suggests.
Lily pulls up her calendar on her phone. "What about next weekend?"
"That's perfect!"
Violet turns her smile on me.
"Plus, it's a holiday weekend, so a barbecue is essential anyway. We can eat burgers and lactose-free ice cream and cake and all the delicious things. And I need to wear a bikini and take pictures before this baby takes over my body."
I don't have the heart or the desire to argue. Besides, with the trade still looming, I have no idea if this is the last birthday I'll get to celebrate with all of our friends, or if one of them will be somewhere else next year. I don't want to miss out on making memories, even if they might hurt to have in the future.
Okay, let's do it.
When your best friend is married to one of the top earners in the NHL, you can pull together a pretty damn sweet party in a very short span of time. Violet hires a caterer and buys all the decorations online. Darren must ask me a million times in 100 different ways what I want for my birthday. What I really want is for him to stay in Chicago and not be traded to Vegas or anywhere else, but he doesn't have control over that, so I tell him I don't need anything and the party is enough. My birthday begins with orgasms from Darren and a promise that he'll see me later. He leaves my bed, much to my dismay, just after 10 in the morning and is replaced with Violet.
"I brought breakfast!"
She wrinkles her nose as she takes a few steps into my bedroom.
"It smells like Darren and sex. I vote we eat downstairs."
I roll out of bed, not caring about my messy hair or the discarded lingerie. I'm wearing one of my many shorts and tank sleep sets as I follow her downstairs.
"You didn't have to go to all this trouble, especially since the party is at your place." "Are you kidding? I wanted a couple of hours of you and me time before I have to go sharing you with all our friends. Remember when we used to eat pints of ice cream and have hoarder marathons on your birthday?"
She turns the bag over and two half pints of Ben and Jerry's roll onto the counter. Her smile is questioning.
"We don't have time for a marathon, but we could do an episode or two."
I don't know why I'm suddenly emotional, but I throw my arms around her. When we finally release each other, Violet puts her hands on my shoulders. "I know a lot has changed recently, especially with me and Sunny both being pregnant and then Lily and I finding out we're half-sisters, which is like so daytime soap opera, by the way. But there's only one you, Char. We've been best friends for almost a decade. We went through Frosh Week together and survived, for Christ's sake." I laugh at that. "You would have thought we'd have learned shots were bad back then.
Academic intelligence isn't the same as social smarts. How the two of us made it through college without a criminal record is beyond me."
Violet snort laughs and then grows serious. "No one is ever going to replace you, Char. When we're old and saggy and we have to yell to hear each other, we'll still be best friends." Of course, that's the moment I burst into tears because as much as I don't want to admit it, those are exactly the words I need to hear.
And that sets off a whole chain reaction in which Violet starts crying too. So we hug some more and cry a bunch like sappy idiots. I'm probably going to cry 100 times today because my hormones are insane, Violet sniffles. At least you have an excuse. Violet and I spend the next 2 hours eating crap and half watching TV. It's good to have a little time with just her before the party. My mom calls around noon to wish me a happy birthday and promises to visit soon. I'm a little disappointed, especially since she uses the reality show she auditioned for as the reason she's so busy. But then, we never made a big deal out of birthdays at the ranch, likely for reasons I didn't understand at the time. Afterward, it's sort of stayed that way, so the fact that I've agreed to a party at all is kind of a big thing. Early in the afternoon, Lily and the rest of the girls come by to pick me and Violet up. Apparently, Alex dropped Vi off this morning. I don't need an overnight bag because I'm staying the night at Darren's, so all I bring is my beach bag with my bathing suit, sunscreen, and a hairbrush. Lily is parked across the end of the driveway in Randy's huge Ford F-150. This one is new, and even though I'm not all that big into cars, or trucks for that matter, even I can appreciate how cool it is with its chrome everything and grille guard on the front. Violet bounces down the front walk for a few steps before she grimaces and holds onto her boobs. Sweet Jesus, you'd think my bra was made of sandpaper with how sensitive my damn nipples are these days. She threads her arm through mine. It's party time. You better do some shots for me tonight to make up for the fact that I'm incubating Alex's future hockey legacy. I give her a side hug. Shots are never a good idea, Vi. We both know this. Agreed. But there are jello shooters, so you have to do at least one of those. Violet makes a move to get in the back seat. I offer to help her in because it's a long way up, even with the running boards thanks to the huge tires on this truck. But Violet slaps my hand away. I'm pregnant, not incompetent. I can do it myself. Violet is uncoordinated at the best of times, but add height, her center of gravity being thrown off, and an additional cup size to her already huge boobs, and she's a walking disaster. Still, somehow she manages to get her ass in the back seat without damaging herself or anyone else. Happy birthday! The girls call out as I drop into the passenger seat. They're all wearing birthday hats with a set of champagne glasses, my name, and the number 26. Lily blows one of those birthday horns, and the thing that rolls out hits me just above the eye. It's followed by a burst of gold raining down on the front seat. Lily's eyes go wide. Vi, not in the truck! The dash and the front seat are littered in gold glitter and tiny sequins. I cover my mouth with my palm, trying to decide if I should laugh or not based on how horrified she looks. Violet makes her apologetic face. Sorry, I got excited and forgot. Randy's going to kill me. We can stop by a car wash and vacuum it out, Poppy suggests. We don't have time. Everyone's supposed to arrive around 2 and it's already 1:30. The birthday girl can't be late. Lily runs her finger along the dash. Glitter is the worst. It never comes out. I'm pretty sure I still have glitter stuck to my vag from the last time Randy wanted to play figure skater, she says. Was that last night? Violet asks. Last week. Lily puts the truck in gear. Roll down your windows, girls. Let's see how much gets sucked out the windows on the way to Vi's. And you're totally taking the heat for this. Randy can't get mad at a pregnant woman. As Lily drives down the street, I spot an enormous RV parked not far down the road. I point and scream. Lily puts on the brakes, maybe thinking she's accidentally almost run over my neighbor's cat who has a terrible habit of playing chicken with cars. I swear he's maxed out his 9 lives. I unbuckle my seatbelt and try to tuck myself under the dash. What's wrong? Lily asks. It's the RV, just keep going, Vi says. Lily glances down at me uncertainly, but takes her foot off the brake and hits the gas. A cloud of glitter whirls in the air, and everyone sputters and waves their hand in front of their face as they get pelted with it. I cover my eyes with my palms as much to protect myself from the glitter as to hide from the RV. Tell me when it's safe, Vi. We slow as we round a corner and then speed up again. Okay, you're good, Vi calls out. Are you sure? My God. My heart feels like it's part of the backbeat to a techno track. It was bad enough when my mom parked her stupid mini Winnebago in my driveway for 3 days, but a full-sized RV is a whole different bag of no fucking way. I'm sure we can't see it anymore. I uncover my eyes and slowly pull myself back up, checking to make sure Violet isn't lying. The girls are looking at me like I've lost my mind. "Are you okay?" Lily asks. "Fine, good. Sorry about that." Once when Lily and I were little, we went to the park and there was a guy in a white van with no windows and he offered us candy. "Remember that, Lily?" Sunny asks. Lily nods and shudders. "Sure do." Thankfully, Alex was there playing hockey with some of the boys in the neighborhood. They started shooting their pucks at the van and broke the windshield. Sunny twirls her hair. Ever since then, white windowless vans give me the willies. That's totally reasonable. I nod my agreement. I feel the same way about RVs. Bad people are everywhere, Sunny says softly, still rubbing her belly. I'm glad this one will have an older brother to protect them. Violet and Sunny start talking about what it's like to have an older brother. Although Violet's experience is a lot different than Sunny's. Sky and Sydney married when Violet was a teenager and she and Miller only had to go to the same high school for a year. Miller and Vi really do act like brother and sister and always have, as far as I know. We pull into Violet's driveway a few minutes later. There are yellow balloons tied to the trees with happy birthday written on them. I give Violet the eye. I thought this was going to be more like a Memorial Day weekend party. She shrugs. We're celebrating all the things, and as your best friend, I reserve the right to make a big deal out of your birthday even if you won't. Plus, Darren can be pushy when he feels like talking and making demands. He's good at that, the making demands part. I agree. The guys are already in the backyard playing frisbee in the pool. The birthday girl has arrived, Violet yells. Darren turns as Lance lets the frisbee go and ends up getting clocked in the back of the head. He nabs it before Randy can and hurls it back at Lance.
Hey, fucker, it's nae my fault you're not paying attention.
Lance's usually mild Scottish accent grows thick and he winks in my direction as Darren wades to the shallow end. He pulls himself out of the pool, wearing a sinister smile as he rushes me.
Don't you dare! I don't even have my bathing suit on yet!
You should have been better prepared, Firefly.
His smile widens as he hauls me against him. My yellow sundress soaks through and I push on his chest trying to get free, but it's impossible.
You're not supposed to run on the pool deck!
I shriek as his lips find my neck, and then we're airborne. The water is warm, but still a shock when we go under. Darren brushes my hair away from my face, and bubbles burst out of his mouth as he laughs, possibly at my expression. He launches us skyward when our feet touch the bottom of the pool. Before I can yell at him for ruining my hair and the only outfit I brought with me, he grips the back of my neck and locks our mouths together. Someone whistles, and I'm pretty sure Randy tells us to get a room.
You're a jerk, I mumble around his tongue.
He laughs and swims me to the shallow end.
I'm your jerk.
You could have waited until I was wearing a bathing suit. I don't even have a change of clothes.
Don't worry, I've got you more than covered.
He grabs a towel from the edge of the pool.
Want some help changing out of your wet clothes?
From you? Nope.
I push on his chest, biting back a grin as I climb out and wrap myself in the towel.
We'll get him back for you later, Char,
Miller calls after me.
Oh, don't you worry, I'm more than capable of making him pay for his transgressions, and I'm sure my punishment will be far worse than anything any of you can dream up.
I arch a brow at Darren and grab my bag, smiling at the chorus of laughter that follows me into the pool house. Darren and I both know any kind of punishment I'll be doling out will be of the teasing variety, but they don't need to know that, and sometimes it's fun to keep them guessing. It's a hot day in late May, and the air conditioning is on in the pool house. Goosebumps flash over my skin as I pad across the cold tile floor to the bathroom. On the counter is a yellow gift bag tied with a bow. My name is written on the little card in Darren's neat cursive. Before I open the gift, I strip out of my clothes and wrap myself in the towel. I pull the satin ribbon, wondering if the whole dragging me into the pool business was an orchestrated move. I assume so. Darren doesn't do anything without plan or purpose. I remove the tissue paper,
noting the firefly print. Inside is a small package wrapped in more tissue paper, this time lavender. I pluck it from the back and gently tear the paper. A soft knock is followed by the twist of the doorknob.
Charlene?
I'm unsurprised that Darren followed me. I'm curious as to what his plan is, whether it's going to be a delayed gratification day or the kind where we sneak off and satisfy our cravings for each other in short bursts of need and want. I'm banking on the latter since it's my birthday, and I should be able to call all the shots. I clear my throat, my body already warming. I'm getting changed.
I came to assist with that.
I bite back a smile as I open the door and peek through the gap. Darren grips the door jamb, eyes moving down my neck to where my pearls lie, then dipping lower to where I clutch the towel. What if I don't want your assistance?
I can just watch if you prefer.
His smile is full of dirty promises as he pushes on the door and I step back, allowing him in. He closes it and flips the lock.
It's your birthday. Whatever you want, you get.
Whatever I want? I tap my lips. Hmm. You know, I've been looking at those new Teslas. I think I'd look pretty great in the driver's seat.
We can go car shopping later.
Ha ha. I'm clearly joking. It's a $200,000 car. I would actually be terrified to drive it. Darren is quite sensible about his purchases. He has two vehicles, an SUV and a sweet sports car, neither of which cost an excessive amount of money. It's one of the many things I appreciate about him. His most frivolous purchases are usually lingerie-inspired, or at least they were until a couple of months ago when he discovered his love of cotton panties that retail at $5 a pair. I turn back to the lavender tissue paper so I can finish unwrapping what I suspect is the first of many gifts. I find a brand new bikini in a soft, pale purple, one I've looked at more than once over the past month or so.
This one is as much for me as it is for you, hence the color.
He drops his head, lips finding my shoulder.
Are you sure you wouldn't like my assistance?
Everyone is going to know what's going on in here, I point out as he kisses up the side of my neck.
I don't mind if they know I'm apologizing for throwing you in the pool.
He untucks the edge of the towel and it falls to the floor. Is that what you're doing? Apologizing? He skims the curves of my hips, making fresh goosebumps flash over my skin again.
You mentioned something about a punishment. I thought it might be a good idea to get that over with now.
His lips lift against my cheek. You're welcome to serve your penance on your knees. His mouth touches mine for the briefest moment before he drops to the bath mat. Lifting me onto the vanity, he hooks my legs over his shoulders and shows me exactly how sorry he is with his mouth, and then again when he gets inside me. It's a good half hour before we come out of the pool house. I'd be embarrassed, but this happens quite regularly with my group of friends, although usually it's Randy and Lily who make use of the various bathrooms. Hockey players have high sex drives, and watching their girlfriends or wives wander around in bikinis gets them excited. There are worse problems to have. Lily passes me a glass of champagne as soon as I settle myself in one of the loungers. Oh, I like this, she motions to my new bikini. Do you know if they have the bandeau-style bra? Lily is modest in the chest department. She's incredibly lean and so fit she has a four-pack. I think they might. I'll text you a link to the site. Violet lowers herself into the lounger beside me. She adjusts her bikini top with a frown. What the hell am I going to do if these get bigger? I'm already busting out of these tops as it is. Doesn't Alex buy you a new bikini every week? I have some from my last pregnancy that might fit you, Sunny says from under her sun hat. Yeah, I might have to take you up on that. I'm constantly at risk of flashing a nipple here. Violet leans back in her chair and then checks to make sure the movement hasn't exposed anything it shouldn't. Lily, Poppy, and I drink champagne while Violet and Sunny drink fizzy grape juice with strawberries floating in the glass. I survey the pool, smiling as the guys play volleyball and Lily's and Sunny's dogs, Wiener, Titan, and Andy, run up and down the length of the pool waiting for someone to throw them a ball or a frisbee. As far as birthday celebrations go, this is my idea of perfect. I have almost all the people I care about right here.
About an hour later, commotion in the driveway draws my attention. Darren pulls himself out of the pool and heads for the gate. Robbie and Sydney appear, both carrying coolers, and behind them are Daisy and Sky. When they move to the side, I shriek and jump out of my chair. Mom? She grins and gives Darren a nervous smile before she does jazz hands. The best part is she's dressed like a normal person. Surprise! I rush around the pool and throw myself into her arms. I thought you were in the middle of filming. I might have fibbed a little, as if I could miss my baby girl's champagne birthday. She hugs me tight. Darren called me last week and arranged to fly me out here. He shoves his hands in his pockets and smiles.
I thought it would be a nice surprise.
After I'm finished hugging my mom, I launch myself at him. He catches me as I wrap my arm and legs around him. His smile grows and he chuckles.
I did okay.
You did amazing. Thank you. Other words I want to say get trapped in my throat, so I kiss him instead. The afternoon is full of appetizers, dips in the pool, crazy conversations between the moms about pregnancy, sex, and other things I've never wanted to know about Violet or Alex's moms, or mine. But I wouldn't trade the crazy for anything in the world. We're in the middle of setting the table for dinner. I could use the food thanks to the amount of champagne I've consumed this afternoon, when another commotion at the gate draws my attention. What's going on over there? I ask Violet, who's busy trying to attach pickled pearl onions to baby gherkins and wrap them in ham so they resemble mini super MCs. Violet looks over her shoulder and shrugs. Maybe it's another delivery courtesy of your boyfriend. I'm going to check it out. Darren has bought me a ridiculous number of gifts, and apparently there are more waiting at his place. I've unwrapped a new closet's worth of shirts and leggings this afternoon. I tiptoe stealthily across the patio in hopes that I can catch a glimpse of whatever is being delivered.
What the fuck is going on?
Darren mutters.
Why is this thing parked in your driveway? We need to get it gone before Charlene sees it.
Darren is standing shirtless with his arms folded across his chest, Alex beside him adopting the same pose. I suppress a shudder when an RV comes into view and it's parked in the driveway. It looks eerily similar to the one that was parked on my street earlier today. The door to the RV opens with an ominous creak. Anxiety ricochets awkwardly through my entire body as a man appears in the doorway. I break into a cold sweat as memories I've spent the past decade trying to keep locked away and buried claw their way to the surface. I've never been more terrified of beige khakis with an elastic waistband and an off-white golf shirt. I feel like I'm being pulled into a nightmare. This can't be happening. Not now, when everything is so perfect. Not when I finally have all these good things in my life. I fight for breath as he searches the faces of my friends, his comb over lifting in the air like a hand waving. I take a step back, seeking cover, my knees wobbling perilously as his wild eyes land on me and a creepy-ass, wonky-toothed smile spreads across his pale, doughy face.
I knew the signs would lead me to you, Shar-Shar.
He spreads his arms as if he expects me to run into them.
I've come to bring you back into the fold.
I'm pretty sure my scream can be heard all the way to Canada.
Chapter 15. Daddy Frank. Darren. Everything awesome about today dies a horrible, tragic death when some pasty fucker steps out of the massive RV parked in Alex's driveway and starts yelling about signs and the fold. I question if this is someone's idea of a practical joke, and whether or not I'm going to have to kick some serious ass, because it sure as fuck not funny. An ear-piercing scream startles us all, and I turn to find Charlene standing about 10 feet away, eyes wide with terror, one hand clutching her pearls, the other covering her mouth as she continues to scream, and scream, and scream some more. I know she has some kind of RV-related PTSD, much like I have a complete aversion to open doors, especially in the bathroom, but this reaction is extreme. I'm also concerned she's going to pass out from lack of oxygen. I don't know how a person can scream that long or that loud without taking a breath.
Charlotte, I've come to save you,
Khaki Man yells. Who the hell is Charlotte? Charlene lurches forward and squeezes between me and Alex. I reach out to stop her, but she pushes away, careening toward Khaki Man. She corrects herself, stumbling as if she's drunk. She grabs my arm, eyes bouncing around my face as she motions to the RV.
Tell me this is a nightmare. Tell me this isn't happening.